you know what's coming in 516 days? The 2020 presidential election. So far, 23 Democrats have entered the race. President Trump is also facing a primary challenge from former Massachusetts Governor Bill Weld. A lot can happen between now and Election Day, but suppose we were headed to the polls today. We're not going to ask you which candidate you'd vote for, but we want to know what issue is most important to you and why. What do you want to hear candidates talking about? What kind of things do you want to hear from them on that issue? Is it the economy, climate change, immigration, abortion, foreign policy, gun control, healthcare, tariffs, criminal justice, voting rights, racism, police accountability, terrorism, opioids? The list goes on and on. Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page or tweet us at Central Time WPR. Mordecai Lee is a professor of urban planning at UW-Milwaukee and a former state lawmaker. Mordecai, welcome back.
Thanks so much, Rob. Glad to be here.
Well, let me ask you a fundamental question at odds with our conversation here today. Do voters really vote on issues?
You know, I think the answer is yes and no. In other words, there are some people who say, this is my number one priority. I don't care if it's a Democrat or Republican. I don't care if it's a liberal or conservative. I'm going to vote for the person who does X. And for example, if you go back to Prohibition, there was a chunk of voters, it was probably about 10% of the population, who literally did that. And so the pro-Prohibition candidate often won simply because of that. Or anti-prohibition candidate lost. So I really like the way you framed it in your introduction. In other words, we're asking voters not just to tell us what they care about or what are the things that are important, but really what is the click? What is the thing that's going to change their mind? What would make them vote for this candidate rather than that candidate? And naturally, there are voters out there who will always vote for one party or the other, who are always ideologically on the left or on the right. But this program, this theme is trying to identify the people who are swing voters and who'll decide based on a particular issue.
Well, I'm also asking listeners this because of a past conversation we had with Jay Rosen, journalism professor, talking about how we in the media talk about these things and try. And he suggested, hey, go to your audience, see the things they want to hear about. Do you think we in the media, and media, yeah, that covers a lot of ground, but do you think we in the media do enough to get these kind of conversations, these kind of issue-oriented conversations out of our candidates?
Well, I think one of the problems is probably polling, and I'm not bashing pollsters, but usually what happens in a standard polling question is they ask people, of the following X number of topics I'm going to mention, what are the five most important to you? Or they'll say, what's the most important to you? And then they'll rank them. Here are the five most important. And I think that sort of makes us lose the sense of what really, really is important. And naturally, there are going to be people who are going to have those kinds of positions. But the media, in a sense, can't cover something unless it's clearly defined. And so I think the media isn't necessarily at fault. I've said before that I think the media is at fault for always loving horse race versus policy stories. But this question is a slightly different issue.
Let's bring on our callers now at 800-642-1234. We'll start with Jim in Dubuque. Jim, hi.
Hi. You know, we're a lot of talk about income disparity and things like that. I'm wondering if your guest can name the one city of the top 20 worst cities for homelessness and crime that is not run by a Democrat.
Wow. You know, that's a great question. I don't know the answer to that. And I'm guessing that Jim's underlying question or follow-up question is that he'd like to suggest that there's a theme that perhaps Democrats are mayors in cities that are doing badly, and perhaps Republicans are mayors in cities doing well. So that may well be a very important issue to Jim to decide what party or what candidate he wants to vote for.
Thanks for the call, Jim. We'll go now to Troy in Muskego. Troy, hi.
Hello. My thing I see happening is, I don't know why, but there's this big misconception about socialism. And what I think needs to happen is there's like what they call socialist governments, and we are not a socialist government. I am a democratic socialist, and that was what built the middle class And the reason why I bring this up is because I actually had to educate my own father on this, because he was talking about Bernie Sanders saying, oh, he's a socialist. And I said, no, he's a democratic socialist, because my dad's like pro-union. He believes in like paying your taxes and those public schools and all that. That's democratic socialism. And I think people are very confused about the difference between a democratic socialist and a socialistic government.
Troy, thanks a lot for the call. And this is something interesting, Mordecai. I think for a long period of American history, like all of just about, to have a major party candidate use the S word as any part of a self-description, socialism, just wouldn't happen, right?
That's a real breakthrough that Bernie Sanders accomplished. And in fact, if you go back to American history and you look at the years of the fear of communism, go to the 1920s, go to the late 40s, early 50s, politicians on the right use socialism and communism as synonyms. And I think most of your listeners understand that there is a difference between communism and socialism, and that a socialism used to be a relatively legitimate political party, but indeed it faded until Bernie Sanders brought it back. And again, the underlying issue that I think for voters, perhaps for Troy, perhaps for other listeners, is what is the proper role of government that they see, that they want a candidate who will define the role of government as, you know, fill in the blank, smaller government, less government, or perhaps more government and perhaps even increased taxes.
Thanks for that call. We're talking to Mordecai Lee, professor of urban planning at UW-Milwaukee, former state lawmaker. We are asking you this question about the 2020 presidential race. What issue do you want to hear candidates talking about? What kind of plans do you want to hear from them? Is there an issue that really sways your vote in a primary, in a general election? Or do you look for something else? Are you looking for leadership, character, some kind of intangible that may not be directly related to one issue? Want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@wpr.org. Back to your calls now. Mark is with us in New Berlin. Mark, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Say, if the economy wasn't doing as good as it is, it would be that. If we had a chance of doing anything at all about global warming, we can't, because India and Russia control the amount of carbon dioxide going in the atmosphere. Border security is my issue. I think we can't have an open border and allow any number of people to come into the country without any idea why we can. Can we let 1 million people a year in? Can we let 10 million people a year in? Border security is my issue.
Mark, thanks a lot for the call. And it seems like, Mordecai, that's what candidate Donald Trump really pitched his campaign on when he ran for president in the congressional midterms. He's hoping there's a lot of people out there along the same lines.
I really like Mark's comment, because he did he put in a conditional. He said, if the economy continues to do well. And what I really like about that comment is that in times of prosperity, to a certain extent, we have the luxury to then focus on the next issue. And he said for him, the next issue is border security. But implied by his comment was that if the economy were to tank, then voter opinion may well swing in a significant way. I think when we look at the election that Obama won, the economy suddenly tanked, the stock market collapsed, and John McCain just had no chance of winning the election. So the economy in that respect becomes the prevalent issue if there's a change in it. So I really like Mark's observation.
Thanks for the call, Mark, at 800-642-1234. We'll go to Robert now in Milwaukee. Robert, hi.
Hi there.
What do you want to bring up, Robert?
So I'm 20 years old. The 2016 presidential election was my first time voting. And I think investment in education and investment in young people is the most important thing on the ticket for me.
Robert, thanks for the call. A lot of education spending issues end up at the state level, and we're in a bit of a wrinkle about that here in Wisconsin, a lot of back and forth. On the national level, Mordecai, do you see a lot of attention to that?
Well, on the national level, there's a major role that the federal government plays. I think the kind of coverage that President Trump's Secretary of Education gets on her policymaking about private schools and indebtedness and things like that are good indications that education is a federal issue. So Robert is also hinting that not only is education important to him, but he thinks that it may well be important to a generation of voters, to the first generation that gets to vote in a presidential election. And based on the size of that generation and the percent of them who vote, that could well become an important and salient issue.
Let's go now to Jeff with us in Superior. Jeff, hello.
Hello. I'm concerned about our energy future. I know that we have natural resources in our country, and our population has grown tremendously in my lifetime. It's over doubled. And I'd like to own an electric car someday, but we don't have the infrastructure in Wisconsin anyway to support that. And I'm concerned about these presidential candidates expressing in a position about how we're going to approach our energy needs in the future.
Jeff, thanks for the call. And we've seen that with some candidates, President Trump moving more toward fossil fuels, a range of solutions here from Democrats on energy issues. Mordecai.
Right. I think Jeff hinted that he cares about energy supplies and tilts perhaps to an environmental perspective or environmental protection perspective. Naturally, there are people on the right and people on the left who have concerns about energy, but they end up on different sides in terms of the specific policy. Is it more to focus on extractive resources or more to focus on sustainable resources? So I suspect that Jeff is indicating that the condition of the environment, including energy supplies, adequate energy supplies for the future, are an important issue. And certainly in Wisconsin, the environment and conservation have always been important issues politically here.
We're talking about the issues shaping the 2020 presidential race. Mordecai Lee is with us, professor of urban planning at UW-Milwaukee and a former state lawmaker. We are wanting to hear from you now at 800-642-1234. What issue do you want to hear presidential candidates talking about? What kind of things do you want to hear from them? What questions do you think they need to answer? What do you think needs to be on a debate stage? And is there an issue that drives your vote? Or is it just a D or R next to the name? How about at a primary? How do you make up your mind? And is it something other than an issue? Is it the character, the leadership, that kind of thing? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or tweet us at Central Time WPR. We'll continue the conversation. Maybe hear from you coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're talking about the issues that are shaping the presidential race. Mordecai Lee is our guest, professor of urban planning at UW-Milwaukee and a former state lawmaker. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What issue do you think is the most important in this presidential race? What do you want to hear the candidates talking about? What questions should be posed to them by the media in the debate formats? Is there an issue that decides your vote, or is there something else about a candidate that makes you want to vote for them or against them? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Back to your calls now. John is with us in West Bend. John, hi.
Hello. I'd just like to talk about getting the impact of money out of politics. That's a decider for me. I can't for the life of me see why it costs $15 to $20 million to become a senator from our state. You know, and now that the political industry has become 24 hours a day, every day, every year, no matter if there's an election or not. And I don't think it's good for us. Money is not a vote.
John, thanks a lot for the call. Mordecai, we hear a lot from our callers about money in politics. Is this something we hear from candidates, presidential candidates in particular?
I wouldn't be surprised if this really rises on the hit parade of issues as we get closer to the election. And probably a slightly broader take on the issue, not just money in politics, as John mentioned it, but sort of the structural issues that lead to integrity of the democratic process. And by that, I'm sort of sliding towards the issue of reapportionment and redistricting, public financing of elections, things like that. There have been times in America, and I especially during the progressive era at the beginning of the last century, where there was huge mobilization of citizens in support of government reform, such as civil service reform. I think it's possible that John is hinting that there may well be a constituency that does that in the next presidential election.
Thanks a lot for the call. Going out to Jim with us in Brookfield. Jim, hello.
Hello, hello, Rob. Mordecai, always good to hear you. My issues are somewhat related. Healthcare with gun violence. I think somebody needs to step up and really address gun violence and, of course, healthcare with the pre-existing. And then the environment, protect the environment, you know, air quality, water quality, and somewhat related to that would be climate change.
Jim, thanks a lot for the call. Jim gave us a lot there. Mordecai, first of all, healthcare. Now, people saw that maybe as a deciding issue in the midterms in 2018.
You know, I think what's going on, based on the list that we heard from Jim and then from some of the earlier callers, is that sometimes the way that a caller will define an issue indicates to us if they're likely tilting left or likely tilting right. I suspect that Jim, from what he indicated, probably is tilting towards a D, and he's looking for a candidate who really will reflect those priorities. Earlier, when we had the call from Mark about border security, I think just the definition of the issue, calling it by the name border security, hints that he's tilting to the right. And so what we're seeing here from the list so far this half hour is a lot of the subjects by themselves, by their very title, are hinting where the predilection of that voter is.
Thanks a lot for that call. And our caller mentioned gun violence as an issue. We've seen the NRA noted as a powerful lobby with members who like to vote and vote on their behalf. Do you see, since the Parkland shooting and the survivors there organizing, do you see a switch and more political activism on that side of the debate than we had in the past?
Well, generally speaking, in American politics, we see issues rise and fall, and we see powerful interest groups rise and then fall. So it's probably inevitable that sooner or later there's going to be a candidate who, let's say, hypothetically, will take on the NRA, make that a major issue, and then perhaps win. And that might be an indication that gradually American public opinion is changing from where it's been up to now. But up to now, the NRA has been very powerful politically. I think it is comparable to the example I mentioned at the top of the show, to the prohibition candidates and prohibition movement about 100 years ago.
Thanks a lot for that call. We are taking your calls on the issues that are important to you in the presidential race, what you want to hear candidates talking about along the way. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Mordecai Lee with us from UW-Milwaukee. Back to your calls now. Ann is with us from Milwaukee. Hi, Ann. Ann, are you there? Nope. Okay, let's try Kevin with us in Janesville. Kevin, hi.
Hi, I'd like to hear a return to discussion and debate of issues, and I'm sick and tired of the personal attacks, the political ideology, he said, they stand for, they hate this. Thanks, I'll take it off the air.
Kevin, thanks for the call. So Mordecai, sick of the mudslinging and the name-calling on the one hand, but also sick of the ideology. It's kind of hard to separate those out sometimes.
You know, at the beginning of the show, we talked about how some people are motivated based on an issue. Some people are motivated by other things, their political ideology, sort of what they inherited from their family in terms of partisan affiliation. I think if we look at American history, there's always been a constituency that Kevin mentions, and that says, let's focus on the issues. But at the same time, you could go back through American history, there's always been political campaigns simultaneously that focused on whether it's mudslinging or character assassination. You know, for example, the things they said about President Adams by the Jeffersonians, or the things that Democrats said about President Lincoln, would just make your hair stand on end in terms of mudslinging. But that's always been part of American politics. There's no test that says to a citizen, you can only decide who to vote for based on X and not Y. They can vote for anybody based on any reason they want to.
Thanks for the call. Mark joins us now in Three Lakes. Mark, hello.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I am trying to figure out why nobody talks about senior citizens that live on a fixed income. They have educated us our whole life. And why are they ignored?
Mark, thanks for the call. So issues facing seniors, in particular on a fixed income, Mordecai.
Well, indeed, issues for senior citizens were so major in American politics a generation ago. It led to Social Security, and then it led to Medicare. And I think Mark is right that the issue has gradually faded. But the percentage of senior citizens who are now in the population compared to non-senior citizens is growing. And I think it's inevitable that some politician is going to see sort of gold, is going to think that, that's a major gold strike by focusing on the issue that Mark mentioned. So I wouldn't be surprised if that issue arises sort of out of left field in the future.
Thanks a lot for the call. Mordecai, in our last minute or so, do you have advice for listeners who are maybe starting to pay attention to this election, trying to figure out who they're on board with? How can we as ordinary citizens do our homework here?
Well, I think that's a great question. And I guess I'd encourage people to think about, what do you care about? Not just an issue that you have a view on, but what do you really care about? What might make you change who you vote for based on that issue? And I think that's 99% of the way they would improve our democracy.
We'll leave it there. Mordecai, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Anytime, Rob. Thank you.
That's Mordecai Lee, professor of urban planning at UW-Milwaukee and a former state lawmaker. We talked to them about the issues the 2020 presidential candidates have been focusing on and which ones can motivate voters. And we've been taking your calls. Thanks for all of your input. You can keep it going. Tweet us at Central Time WPR or email ideas at WPR.org. Coming up tomorrow here on Central Time, the Vietnamese girl who was in a famous photograph of a napalm attack now works to promote peace around the world. She's speaking in Wisconsin this weekend. She joins the show to share her story. The Great Lakes are headed toward high waters, with Lake Superior on track to set records. We'll find out what that means for people who live on or visit the shores of the Great Lakes and what the rest of the season holds for water levels. And it's this week's edition of Food Friday with a taste of cooking from Appalachia. We'll talk to the author of the new cookbook, Smoke, Roots, Mountain, Harvest, Recipes, and Stories Inspired by My Appalachian Home. That and a look at some of the top news stories of today, of the week, I should say, from around Wisconsin. It's all coming up tomorrow here on Central Time.